Today, we're breaking down the recent free agency. It's not quite done, but not a lot of moves left to happen. So Noah, Ruben and I are just going to talk about our winners and our losers. Who benefits, who doesn't? It's time for Balls Deep. Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. My name is Adam King. I am your host at AdamKing91 on Twitter is where you can find me. Joining me, as always, on a Tuesday evening, afternoon, Wednesday morning, depending where you are, is Noah Ruben. Noah, we got there. It was a little bit slow this morning. As I said, my kids are on holidays, and so the mornings are a little more relaxed around here. So the alarm went off and I just rolled over and went back to sleep.
I think that's totally fair. I mean, it's not been the most exciting free agency. So this isn't like an episode that I would be getting out of bed saying, man, I'm just so excited to talk about X move and Y move. Like it's been fun. It's been fine. It hasn't been anything, you know, anything that'll get you out of bed in the morning. So I don't know.
No. And yeah, like I said, we're not done. There's still a few moves that could happen. There's little bits. Cade Cunningham signed his deal overnight, which I think we knew that was coming. Zach LaVine, he's still sort of rumored to be, well, the Bulls are trying to offload him. I don't think anyone wants him at this stage. But Paul Reed, an interesting one. We'll start with him, I guess, because it's the most recent. He was picked up by Detroit overnight off waivers. I don't know. What do we think about him? I mean, he's somewhat proven. I mean, I thought he was okay in Philly last year when Embiid was injured. I think people had pretty high expectations of what he might be able to do in starters' minutes. And as we've seen countless occasions, players that have really high per minute upside, that doesn't always translate when they go from a 17 minute role to a 28 minute role. You don't just sort of take the stats and add 60% or 50, whatever. And that wasn't the case. And I think people got a bit frustrated. But what do you think? Can he have a role in Detroit?
I think if there's some injuries, maybe, but just if everybody stays healthy. I think Jalen Duren's the starter. I think Isaiah Stewart's the backup. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a handful of minutes for Paul Reed. I don't think it's enough for him to contribute in fantasy. I think Isaiah Stewart is kind of forgotten about at times just because they were trying to play him at power forward and it just wasn't natural for him. I think being a backup center that can still play 18 to 20 minutes and be effective, I think that's a good role for Isaiah Stewart. So I'm not seeing a ton of minutes left over for Paul Reed. They re-signed Fontecchio. They added Tobias Harris. So it's not like you can say there's just minutes at the four. So I don't know. I think that this is a good chance for him to prove himself after what, like you kind of mentioned, the expectations were high last year. It didn't really do much. So it's not going to be a ton of minutes early on, but maybe he can prove himself and earn something.
Yeah, I think, as you said, Duren is sort of locked in there as the starter and Isaiah Stewart is playing in his natural position, I think, as backup center. Stewart certainly has a reputation for having a bit of a temper, though, and maybe gets suspended for a couple of games. An injury or two might open up some minutes. So, yeah, Reed, I think, is someone to just keep an eye on him, just see if he does step into a large enough role. But as we've seen in the past, he would need sort of upwards of 20 minutes. And at the moment, I don't see that happening. So I guess moving on to winners and losers, and I mean, you do have to take this with not a grain of salt, but we've still got, as I said, some moves to potentially happen. Rosters aren't set yet. So this is based on what we know right now, and that could change slightly. So, I mean, in terms of, we'll start with winners. Have you got someone on your list, if you have a list of winners, who would be the first player you think really benefited from what's happened over the past week and a half?
Are we saying players as winners or teams as winners?
I think either. I think if you want to say, if you want to say a team, or if you want to say a specific player, yeah, either or.
Well, we did a column for Roto World where we were talking about winners and losers and stuff, both players and teams. So, no, I'm ready to go. Tobias Harris was my number one winner for free agency, just because despite the narrative around him, he still got $26 million a year over two seasons. And he's going from a team where all the fans were like, hey, this is the guy that is the reason that we haven't won an NBA championship yet. That guy right there. All season long, and basically his entire time he was there. And now he's going back to Detroit where he's already played, and it's a lower expectation team. They're not asking him to step up in the playoffs and help them win a championship. They're saying, hey, do you want to help us play competitive basketball? That way we don't have the worst record for the third year in a row, and maybe we can help some of our players develop because you've already played in the playoffs and played at a high level. So can you help us do that? And he's getting $52 million over two seasons to do it. And his, like, for fantasy, I think that this is a better situation because in Philly, at best, there's probably some times where he was the number two option. But for the most part, especially last season, like, he was the third option. But now there are a lot of talented players around him, but he's the most proven scorer. So I think that they're going to look to him a lot. We could compare it to what Bojan Bogdanovic's role with the Pistons was before he was traded, except Tobias Harris has consistently been better in fantasy. So I think it's great for fantasy. I think it's great for him to get paid. And I think it'll be also good for his reputation, which is arguably at an all-time low.
Yeah, he's a bit of a divisive sort of character when it comes to fantasy basketball, because certain analysts are pretty low on him. Others love just grabbing him late. Depending on your build, all sorts of things go into that decision-making. But he finished as the 48th player last year, so a top 50 player, as you said, playing on a team where he's arguably the third option. Embiid was out for a lot of that, so, I mean, we do have to sort of keep that in mind. But, look, he's pretty solid. He's consistently in that range, top 60, top 50, but you can get him top, I don't know, 80, something like that. So you'll normally be able to get him and add a couple of rounds of value, and I think that's probably going to happen again. I think if he is hyped a little bit this season, despite his age, his ADP might climb closer to 50, which means there's probably not as much meat on the bone in terms of value. Right. But that's on the analysts and whether we hype him and how much we talk about him coming into the season. But I like him for this season. I think it's a good landing spot. There's basically zero pressure on him now because Detroit don't have aspirations of winning a title. Well, I hope they don't, at least for this season. So yeah, I like him. For me, I don't know. I mean, there's a few players, obviously, that I think have benefited, and probably one that, I don't know, I was relatively high on him, and then I've listened to a couple of shows. I've listened to Dan Bespris's show, and there was another one as well. I think I'm liking Jonas Valanciunas. I think I sort of saw that he signed, I think it was 3 years, $30 million, which didn't seem like a lot of money for him, a good deal for the Wizards, but wasn't sort of sure. They just drafted Alex Saar. They've re-signed Rashawn Holmes. They've got Marvin Bagley. So there are a few questions around what his role might look like. Is he going to come off the bench behind Saar? But I think he starts now from just having a look at their roster and I guess considering where they're headed and they're trying to develop sort of these young guys. I feel like he's going to start. He's probably going to play 26 minutes, 28 minutes. I don't think he plays 32 or 33, anything like that. But he wasn't great last year playing in New Orleans, but he was playing with a much more talented roster around him than he's got in Washington. So he's not going to come out and be a high-volume sort of scorer that's going to get you 25 points a game or anything like that. But he's a really good rebounder, a huge body. He's going to be a leader on this team, which is what they need. I think he's probably someone that we need to be drafting inside the top 100, just based on the fact that he could average a good double-double. So not just a like a 10 and 10 double-double. I think he could be 16 and 12. Good percentages. He'll give you the odd three, but he's good from the free throw line as well. Doesn't do a lot on the defensive end, but he'll sort of fumble his way into close to a block per game, just the fact that he's so big and he's at the rim. So I like him this season. I think it could be a bit of a bounce back year for him. The only hesitation I would have is knowing or expecting Washington to be sitting down the bottom of the standings come February, March, April. There's a chance that they end up just, whether it's pulling from the rotation altogether because of an injury or, but his minutes could scale back. So there's a little bit of concern there, but I like him. What are you sort of on board with Valanciunas yet?
Not as much as you are. I agree that he'll start. I think the issue with him the past two seasons has been the minutes. He was at 23.5 this past season, 24.9 before that, both outside the top 100. The year before that, he was at over 30 minutes, and then he was 44th according to Basketball Monster. If he can get to 30 minutes per game with the Wizards, then I like him. But they also have Rashawn Holmes. They have Marvin Bagley. They have Tristan Vucevic. Not like names that are screaming, hey, like this is going to be difficult for Valanciunas to get to 28, 30 minutes. But I can see them trying to give some younger guys like, okay, what do we have in Bagley? Okay, what do we have in Vucevic? Like just trying to figure those out. Also giving Rashawn Holmes minutes. So if Valanciunas is at 24 to 26 minutes, like he has been the past two seasons, then I can't see him being much better than he was the past 2 years. I agree. I think I'd probably take him around 100, maybe like a little bit earlier than that. But I don't know. We'll have to see if media day quotes or anything like that is in like giving us a better indication of what his role is going to look like, because they are probably going to be very bad again. So that's another risk there, that he might not play 82 games again. He might play 60. So I think he'll start. I think there's a chance that he gets to 30 minutes and ends up having a bounce back season. I'm just not convinced that that's going to be the case, I guess.
Yeah, so I just put up his stats here. And yeah, last year obviously wasn't great. Year before wasn't great. But if we jump back to the 2021 season, when he was in Memphis, 28.3 minutes a night. So I think that's probably feasible. He could get close to that. 17 points, 12.5 rebounds, 0.9 blocks, 59 from the field, 77 from the line. I can see that being somewhat replicable. I mean, yeah, there's not much there. 17 points, maybe not. Maybe it's sort of closer to 15 and a half. But he was almost a top 30 player that year. So,
right.
So I think there is a path to him getting, I would say best case he's top 50. That's best case. I wouldn't count on that. But yeah, I certainly think, as I said, top 100, but we will have to see, because there are still some questions regarding their rotation. So, as you said, they have depth at that position. So do they want to play Sarr at the four and the five?
Right. They might give him a few minutes as well.
So anyway, we'll see.
Along with that, he does have a high floor though. So like, I don't think he'll be worse than top 125. So
he's no
option with upside. So that's a good thing. It is a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, he was top 120 last year, and that was probably worst case in terms of his role. And you'd have to look at his season. I would say I don't have his games in front of me, but I feel like last year he was pretty good to start the year, and then back end of the year was just playing very limited minutes. Your next guy or next team?
I'll just go based off this column because I can just roll with that. My biggest, are we doing winner or loser?
Well, let's do another winner, I think.
Okay. Yeah. My winning team was the Warriors. And I don't think it's like, wow, the Warriors had this like the best offseason possible. But I think considering they lost Klay Thompson, which is, you know, like bad for, I guess, the overall organization, like losing a player that talented, like that kind of stinks. Mm-hmm. But I'm not really seeing where they're going to miss a ton of the value based off the additions they made. Like, they added D'Anthony Melton, who has shown that he can shoot, but really like a good defender, which Klay Thompson obviously used to be one of the best 3-and-D players in the league, but the defense hasn't been there since returning from that major injury, which understandable. Like, he's older, he's dealt with injuries, like he's just not the same player he was. That's okay. And obviously he's still an elite shooter, but he wasn't quite as good as he has been in the past, which again, he's getting older, he's dealt with injuries. That's okay, that happens. But Buddy Hield has been an elite shooter his entire career. So now they're, I guess, kind of replacing Klay Thompson in the aggregate with Buddy Hield, D'Anthony Melton, and then even Kyle Anderson. So I think instead of paying Klay Thompson big bucks, they were able to get a handful of role players that have like starter level talent to replace Klay Thompson. So I really like what the Warriors did, even if it wasn't super flashy. And they still have a chance to make flashy moves if they part with some of these young guys to bring in a guy like Lauri Markkanen. So we'll see what the rest of their summer looks like, but I'm liking what the Warriors have done so far.
Yeah, they have made some nice moves there, and they're not a team that's sort of – they're not built to go into a rebuild. Like, that's not
– no,
just not in their mindset, I don't think, at this stage, as long as Steph Curry's there. So I think they've added some nice pieces around him. Look, I think for me, team-wise, I don't know. I like, despite it only being one real move. I mean, they did get Harrison Barnes. I like the Spurs getting Chris Paul. I think I don't think it takes them to that next level. I don't think that's what we're expecting. But I think if we look back in 3 or 4 years, we'll say this potentially was a key developmental year for a lot of these young guys, with Chris Paul basically being a coach on the floor. And we've seen in the past the impact that Chris Paul can have on a young team. When he went to OKC, he took them to the playoffs, I believe, when he was there, and no one sort of really saw that coming. He went to Phoenix, elevated them to the NBA Finals. Didn't have the same impact in Golden State, but wasn't really utilized, I guess, in the same way. And he is old, so, I mean, we have to factor that in. But the Spurs don't need him to play 75 games this year. They need him on the floor for maybe 60 games, but in the locker room, in players' ears. And I just think it's going to do wonders for, I mean, Wemby, obviously, having a really good point guard, just feeding him the ball in the right spots. But also for their younger players, for Devin Vassell, for Stephon Castle, I think. Yeah, I just think it's a really positive move. A 1-year, $11 million deal, I think, certainly worth it. One player I want to talk about, which he potentially isn't on your list, and I don't know really if he's on my list, but given you're wearing an Atlanta Hawks final NBA Finals shirt.
Oh, we don't do NBA Finals series. This is Eastern Conference Finals.
Sorry, NBA Finals. What am I thinking here? Eastern Conference Finals. I thought I'd talk about one of their acquisitions, and that's Dyson Daniels. Heading into the Olympics, and he's very prominent here, obviously, in Australia. And oh God, we don't need to talk about some of the players we left out of our Olympic team. I don't know. Have you seen much over there about Olympic squads and things like that?
In Australia? No, I haven't seen.
So we had some trial games against China. We had two games, which we won both games pretty easily. We looked good. Matisse Thybulle was supposedly injured, didn't play, and he's been left out. And they said it's not because of injury. They just didn't pick him. And
I think I did see that, actually.
It's not a popular decision, I'll put it that way. And so Dyson got picked. And supposedly what we've read is that it came down to Dyson versus Matisse. So they were picking one of those.
Interesting.
And look, I get that. I get they're both defensive sort of players, but Dyson has that upside of being able to handle the ball a little bit. He's a bit younger. We picked Matthew Dellavedova. Nothing against Delly. Like, he's been a great player for Australia, but he is not the player we need defending Giannis and defending all these elite wings and ball handlers. It's not Matthew. It's Matisse Thybul. That's who we need.
He's the Steph Curry stopper. When you go play Team USA, he's the Steph Curry stopper.
Yeah, it's baffling. And they formally announced the team yesterday, and a lot of the comments were basically along the lines of "What the hell? Like, what?" I just don't get it. So, anyway, that's my rant over regarding the Australian Boomers. And look, honestly, it's probably not going to matter because our pool has Spain, Greece, and Canada, and all three are going to be really hard.
That's not ideal.
So, Dyson Daniels heading to Atlanta. DeJounte Murray is gone. Perhaps there's still moves to come. Maybe DeAndre Hunter is moved. I don't know. You'd have more of an idea what they're thinking there, but. What do you think Dyson Daniels' role is going to be? Is he going to start alongside Trae Young?
I thought I knew what the Hawks were thinking for the longest time. This summer has just proven that I have no idea what they're thinking. I wish I did. But if it were up to me, I think that I would at least consider starting Dyson Daniels at shooting guard with Bogdan Bogdanovic coming off the bench. Because I think that – I was actually talking with the Menace Podman guys earlier. I was doing a show with them, and they were asking about the Hawks lineup. I think they need to figure out what they're doing with Clint Capella. They need to figure out if they're starting DeAndre Hunter or Zachary Risacher. Jalen Johnson and Trae Young are definitely starting. Mm-hmm. And then they need to decide, do we want Dyson Daniels starting to play defense, or do we want Bogey starting to shoot the ball? I think that's kind of the decision they need to make. I think starting Dyson Daniels and having – Bogey come off the bench makes a lot of sense, especially just because like Trae Young is going to make the offense good if he's on the floor. It doesn't really matter who's on the floor with him. So you need to figure out something defensively. They've leaned into adding length and defense this summer, which explains the Risacher draft pick. Even if I know I wanted Alex Saar. I don't know exactly how many people wanted Alex Saar, but it'll be interesting to see what they do with the rest of their summer, but I really do think that, I mean, it might be like a 50-50 chance of whether it's Bogey or Dyson Daniels starting. Hopefully they'll give a better indication closer to the time that the season starts, but I think it could make sense either way, but he's going to play more than he did in New Orleans, I think, just because the Hawks aren't quite as deep of a team as the Pelicans were the past few seasons.
Yeah, I hope he starts. I mean, that's probably me being a little bit bias, my Australian bias, but
that's fine.
I think Bogey is sort of like, he's very familiar with the sixth man role, and I think his impact is offensively. Like, that's what they have him for. It's to score, and I think they need that off the bench. Whereas starting lineup, you have Trae Young, and he's obviously a very good facilitator, but he's their first option on offense as well. And I just think Dyson can have a better impact starting, even if he's not playing, I guess, what you would consider starters minutes, if he's playing 24 minutes or something like that. I just think pairing him alongside Trae is a good idea and certainly worth, as you said, just considering. And we'll see. We'll get a bit of an idea closer to the start of the season. But I'd love to see him, in that starting lineup.
I'm starting to talk myself into that trade making sense for the Hawks, because at first I was really mad about the value, but I'm talking myself into this not being as bad as it could have been. I still don't think the picks are going to be that good, but Dyson Daniels could literally just step into DeJounte's spot and obviously play a very different role, but Bogey was the sixth man for most of last season until Trae got hurt, so that's a very natural role for him to step back into, so it wouldn't shock me if they're just replacing DeJounte with Dyson Daniels and probably getting better defense because DeJounte wasn't as good of a defender in Atlanta as he was before that. And obviously losing out on some playmaking, but Dyson does still have playmaking upside. So we'll see if he pans out the way that I think both of us think that he can. I think it's going to end up being a good move. So,
yeah, so I've just pulled up Dyson's stats from last year. And there was a period early in the season when he was rosterable. So I'm just running sort of through that game log there. Offensively, still pretty raw. Certainly not a reliable three-point shooter yet, but he did have a stretch of five consecutive double-digit games. But in that time, he had a 10-assist game, a 9-assist game, an 8-assist game. I'm looking at rebounds, not 7, 6, 6.
Yeah.
Good rebounding numbers, as I just said, 10, 9, and 8. So not a triple-double watch, but could certainly contribute across those categories. But then he had some 3-steal games. He had a 6-steal game. So he brings that defense. And that was when he was playing 31, 33, 37. So the minutes were obviously way up. But I think if we come into the season and we get word that he's starting and he's probably going to play 26 minutes a night while Bogey sort of picks up another 26, and I'd consider taking him with a last round pick, I think, just for that defensive upside, some assists, good out of position rebounders, rebounding numbers, and he'll give you some threes, not many, but he should be able to get some good looks with Trae Young there as well, because he was playing obviously in New Orleans where they didn't really have a point guard last year. Not someone that's why they went and got DeJounte Murray.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be an intriguing one. On DeJounte, he's been a pretty hot topic, I suppose, in fantasy circles. Is the move to New Orleans good for him? I think it's obviously good in terms of it gets him away from Trae Young and puts the ball in his hands a bit more. Do we think he can go back to being that player that he was in San Antonio, or are we sort of meeting in the middle? He can maybe be top 20 at best.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, is top 25, top 20. I don't think he'll be as good as he was in San Antonio simply because there's other players that have proven stars on this team. That San Antonio team where he was a top 10 player, it was a lot of young guys. So there wasn't DeJounte kind of do whatever he wanted. It was a rebuilding team. Now it's we need to win games. So DeJounte is going to get his steals. I mean, I assume that the assists will go up a little bit and that the rebounds will actually probably go up a little bit as well. Playing alongside Clint Capella the last two seasons. Now it's Daniel Tice, Eve Nisi. Those are the centers right now. And then Zion. So could see the rebounds going back up for DeJounte. I don't think that the points go up by that much, but he will have the ball in his hands more, and he's shooting threes a lot better than he was when he was playing San Antonio. Field goal percentage probably goes down a tad. So, yeah, I'm thinking a top 25 player is very realistic. Not quite San Antonio level, better than Atlanta. So, like you said, meet in the middle, top 25, maybe top 30. But, yeah, really good player.
Yeah, really good. I like it for New Orleans. I don't see the points going up. Really, I think they may even come down closer to 20. He was at 22.5 last season. Part of that probably hinges on whether Brandon Ingram is still there. It's all indications point to him leaving. We just don't know where or when. So if he goes and they don't bring back in someone you would consider a scorer, then I guess maybe he could hover around 22 points because they've got CJ, Zion. That's sort of it. If you think of a reliable offensive threat, they're the two. So he'd still be the second or third option on offense. But if Brandon Ingram's there, that's another 20-point scorer to throw into the mix. So, loser, have you got a clear sort of player team that you thought comes out of this period in a worse spot than last year?
My player is Trey Jones. for the reasons that you mentioned earlier when you're talking about the moves that the Spurs did that you liked, which I think it also makes sense for the team. But when you're the guy, I mean, he was coming off the bench to start the season because they were running Jeremy Sochan at point guard. And then they were like, hey, like, okay, like we kind of need to have Trey Jones at point guard. And now this summer, they signed Chris Paul, drafted Stephon Castle, and drafted Juan Nunez, who I believe is going to be a draft and stash, so he won't come over this season. But they were clearly like, okay, guys, we need to figure out this whole point guard thing, and we need to upgrade here. So what does that say about Trey Jones? Like, obviously, I don't think anybody expected him to be the long-term option at point guard, but I think that this definitely he'll take a hit to his minutes. They'll probably prioritize Stephon Castle at times, though I'd imagine to start the season, Castle may see more of an off-ball role like as he learns under Chris Paul. And I think long-term it might be fine for Trey Jones because he's going to learn a little bit from Chris Paul, two very efficient point guards. So I just think that it really hurts him a lot next season simply because he has a lot more competition for point guard minutes.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty obvious one because Chris Paul is clearly the preferred option there, at least for the next 12 months. For me, I think the Clippers probably got worse. They lost Paul George, brought in Derek Jones, I suppose, if you wanted to consider him the replacement. Defensively, I guess maybe you could say he's on par with Paul George. Different, he's a different defensive player. But they haven't really got better, I don't think. I think they're relying on the health of a player who, to this point, is not healthy, Kawhi Leonard. He was relatively healthy last year, but then we saw when they needed him, he wasn't there. So that's a big concern. I think they're probably, if you look at all the teams who made moves, they're probably the team that got worse. And then, I mean, in terms of players, I guess if we look at the other side of that Paul George trade, I don't think they're clear losers where their value is going to take a significant hit. But I think Paul George, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey all just take a little bit off the top because you're bringing in Paul George to replace Tobias Harris. And Paul George is far better than Tobias Harris. So, well, yeah, he is far better than
no, I was joking with my little side to side.
And so I think they all just lose a little bit. I don't think they're obviously, it doesn't impact the fact of do we draft them or don't we draft them. We still clearly draft them. But Paul George probably, because he was 11th, I want to say, last year. Yeah, 11th. Almost no way he's a first-round player playing alongside those two guys. And I think thinking then back to the other side of that, James Harden is probably a winner for me as well, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure. He doesn't get back to being James Harden from 5-6 years ago when he was in Houston and just doing absolutely everything. But he is probably going to be option two now behind Kawhi. And as I said, Kawhi could miss 30 games, during which that time Harden will be option one. So he could definitely go back to being a top 15 player, I think, James Harden, if we don't sort of see any other players come in or any other significant moves made. I think he is someone that that we want to be prioritizing in drafts. He was, where is he? He was 26th last year, averaging 16.6 points per game and 8.5 assists. I think both of those numbers could go up potentially without Paul George there. Derek Jones is not handling the ball. He's not scoring 20 points a game. No, so Harden could easily go back to being a 20 and 10 player. I think with so we'll see. There potentially are still moves to come in LA, but I'm going to let you get out of here now. I'm going to sadly go and do some work. Take me later. What have you got planned for the show? We're in the midst of the Tank Me Later Dynasty draft, rookie draft. It's been interesting. Lots of chatter, lots of engagement, which is great. But what's happening with the show at the moment?
With the show, I'm going to record an episode tomorrow. I did a rookie mock with some dynasty analysts just to take a look at how we draft. I've got some data out of that. So talk about that. Maybe talk about that, I guess, the rookie draft that's been going on in the Take Me Later 30-team league. We'll see how many more picks we can get in before I start recording. So we'll just talk about a handful of them. And then, yeah, I mean, I know we're doing this 30-team dynasty mock that you're hosting. So that'll be exciting when we finish that to get some data out of that to talk about. So, yeah, that's what we got coming the next couple of weeks. And then, I mean, as we get closer to the season, more drafts. I'm sure we'll both be doing live draft shows or mock drafts where we're picking as we record. So should be fun. Summer's always fun.
I'm going to pop up this question, and this will mean absolutely nothing to you.
I've been trying to figure it out the entire time, Kenny.
This is purely for Australian viewers, listeners. So the question is, hey, Kingy, any news on why your good mate Brent Naden isn't in this week would be my number one pick. Brent Naden, so he plays for the West Tigers, who are my rugby league football team here in Australia. I really don't think he should be playing in the league. Like, he's not good. And my team are the worst team. So they've finished last the last two seasons. They're finishing last again this year, I think. And he keeps getting picked for whatever reason when we've got young players. And this week he hasn't been picked. So I'm very happy that he is not playing. Very true, Gibbo. Most of Australia don't understand it either. So
give me an NBA comp when you can. Give me an NBA player comp for Brent. Sounds like you guys are respectfully, it sounds like you guys are the Pistons. So maybe like an older veteran on the Pistons that continues.
No, I wouldn't say it's Isaiah Stewart playing him out of position. it'd be like, I don't know, maybe he's like an Ish Smith or like someone who just keeps getting a job and really shouldn't have a job. at least not, because he's slightly older and I'm not going to tear him down or anything because obviously he plays in the National League. He's a very good player. But I do feel like, from what we've heard, the Tigers, my team, they're shopping him around in England to go and play in the league in England, which will be great for him. Like over there, he would be a good player. In Australia, he's not.
Great for him, great for you, great for your
team. That's right. So very nice question. So in terms of what we've got coming, I mean, we'll be doing this show weekly, I think, as long as there's stuff to talk about. Summer League starts in, 4 days, something like that, the Vegas Summer League.
Yeah, anyway. I think 4 days,
So this time next week, we'll have a few Summer League games to talk about. So that'll be good. We probably will have had a look at all of the rookies by then. So that'll be something to talk about. I've started recording the talk about the Pistons. We can talk about the Pistons. I actually like what the Pistons have done this offseason. I think they've actually made some – well, I'll say they haven't made bad moves. I think that's sort of what they've done in the past. And having a new coach now and a new direction and that sort of thing, I actually don't mind what the Pistons have done. So we can talk about the Pistons. I've started recording my analyst interviews the second season. I'll be recording them over the next few weeks and then we'll start releasing them probably late July, two a week for 6 weeks, something like that. Free Paul Reed. maybe. We did talk about him at the start of the show. So, we don't think he's free at the moment, but he could end up being freed at some point. Yes, that's what we're doing. We're just sort of slowly ramping up and getting ready for the season. So Noah and I will be back next week similar time. The time sort of varies at the moment based on what my kids are doing, and it will normally be around 4 p.m. Eastern, something like that, once we get into a bit of a rhythm. But for now, that will bring us to the end of the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.